Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, four people have been arrested in connection with the murder of 29-year-old journalist Lyra McKee in Derry. There are fears Sockler farmers in Donegal will be severely impacted unless additional supports are provided by government. A Donegal church that has a graveyard full to capacity has had plans for a new graveyard appealed to in Bord Pleanalla. And community employment supervisors and assistants in Donegal are set to begin 5 days of strike action next week. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first, the news. A teenager is among four people arrested today in connection with the murder of Lyra McKee. The 29-year-old journalist was shot during disturbances in the Craigan area of Derry on April the 18th. Trish Lafferty has more.
Lyra McKee was shot dead while observing a riot in the Craigan area of Derry on April 18th. This morning, four males aged 15, 18, 38 and 51 were arrested in the city in connection with the violence. They've been taken to the Serious Crime Suite in Musgrave Station in Belfast, where they're being held under terror legislation. Four homes in Derry were also searched. Police say they've received evidence from over 140 people since Lyra was killed last month.
The National Broadband Plan has been described as a rotten deal for the taxpayer. The Dáil has been debating the €3 billion project announced by government. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Broadband's been the issue to dominate politics this week, and in the Dáil, the opposition's lined up to bash the government's plan. Solidarity TD Ruth Coppinger said the state needs to own the infrastructure.
Why is the government doing such a rotten deal for the taxpayer and such a good deal for private companies?
A view Sinn Féin's Brian Stanley shares.
It is essential that the state retain control of this large project and vital infrastructure. This is Nanny Tiddlywinks project.
While Fianna Fáil says it would go with another way for providing broadband to rural Ireland, Communications Minister Richard Bruton says they considered all those options.
It was found that they would either create greater cost, impose a longer delay, or greater uncertainties and risk for the state.
But the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin thinks the government's deflecting to avoid the fact they ignored the advice of key public spending officials not to go ahead with the project.
The government are spinning like hell, and people need to call out to spin.
Despite the protests of TDs, the government doesn't need Dáil approval to sign this contract, and the appetite isn't there from Fianna Fáil to collapse the government on this issue to see a change. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Speaking today also, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says the terms of the contract don't make sense.
There's no incentive to honour the contract for its duration, risking further losses. Why? Because there is so little skin in the game from the investor. He will have recouped all of his investment before the project has been delivered. Now, you fail to address those issues. They have not been addressed by any official, by any letter, by nobody.
There are fears Sockler farmers in Donegal will be severely impacted unless additional supports are provided by government. 52,000 full-time jobs and 14,000 Sockler farms could be lost from Ireland's beef industry over the next decade unless action is taken. A recent analysis shows that the western and border counties are particularly reliant on the Sockler herd, but its positive effect on the economy is felt nationwide. Beef editor with Irish Farmers Journal Adam Wood says unless steps are taken by central government, the community as a whole will suffer the fallout.
Yes, Donegal is a county with a lot of Sockler cows, and obviously rural Donegal depends on beef farms and Sockler farms, I suppose, in its existence. And if we didn't have the Sockler cow in Donegal, we'd lose jobs, we'd lose income, and we'd lose rural infrastructure in terms of schools, garda stations, post offices. We'd have real issues there, I suppose. We engaged with Michael Wallace, Professor of Economics at UCD, to look at this and see what the effect would be if the Sockler industry is let decline.
And as you say, he is a leading academic. This is the warning. How come the government haven't stepped up to the mark here, in your opinion?
I guess in the last few years we've seen the supports to the beef sector decline, and it's multifactorial. I suppose price is another issue with our beef. We're dependent on exports, and Brexit uncertainty has really had issues with the market and has meant that winter finishers over the last couple of months have lost a lot of money. And I suppose tonight's summit in the Shearwater and Ballinasloe is about the policy makers and the power players coming together in one room and outlining the plan for the suckler beef industry over the next 10 years. A lot of farmers at a critical juncture as regards their future in the system. Some are opting to dairying, but many in the west of Ireland and on difficult land type can't go dairying, and the only option is forestry. So really it's about informing themselves with the facts tonight at the summit and seeing, I suppose, what decisions are to be made after that.
And as you say, some beef farmers can't opt into the likes of forestry and dairy. What for them, really, in reality here?
There isn't an awful lot. It's suckler farming, and I suppose it needs to be supported. Our suckler farmers and our beef farmers have huge compliance costs to comply with European standards of food production. We're really at the top of the pyramid in terms of our production standards, but there's a cost to that.
Community employment supervisors and assistants in Donegal are set to begin 5 days of strike action next week. It's in response to Minister Pascal Donoghue's ongoing failure to meet with SIPTU to discuss CE supervisors' right to a pension as set out in a 2008 Labour Court recommendation. As part of the nationwide strike, a protest will take place outside Minister Joe McHugh's constituency office in Letterkenny, beginning on Monday from 12 noon to 3 p.m. daily. Kit Campbell is a CE supervisor in Donegal with the local development company.
In July 2008, the Labour Court awarded the CE supervisor and assistants pension rights. As we all know, come September 2008, the downturn happened and this didn't happen and future governments didn't adhere to it either. But in the last 2.5 years since the recession has basically been told gone and we're back nearly to full employment, we have gone to have meetings with the various TDs and ministers and department heads to try and get this issue resolved. So we had to take this action to make an all-out strike next week.
And this is almost 11 years ago that the Labour Court recommendation was made, and as you say, various rallies and strike days were made. But are you hopeful now that this full week, is particularly outside Minister Joe McHugh's office, could see some action?
Well, hopefully it will. Last week, the disputes committee within the joint union of SIPTU and FARSA had a very constructive meeting with Regina Doherty, but we got no immediate outcome. We can go no further. We have a Labour Court recommendation. That's the only route we can go.
And what's the next step if there is no movement following next week?
We'll just have to withdraw services maybe for a longer period of time. As you know, a lot of the CE schemes are involved in local tidy towns, and this is coming up to the judging period of tidy towns as well. So we are hoping that, first of all, it will enlighten the whole community in the country as to what's going on. And also we're hoping with the local elections that it will bring it to a fore and that something will happen, that they will honour it. If not, we'll just have to go back to the drawing board.
A Donegal church that has a graveyard full to capacity has had plans for a new graveyard appealed to in Bord Planalla. The Roman Catholic Church in Letterbarra, just outside Donegal town, is said to be in urgent need of additional graveyard space. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Donegal County Council had originally been given permission for the new graveyard, located at the site of the adjoining and now derelict parochial house. It would measure 22 metres by 28 metres. Local parish priest Father Francis Ferry made the application, as the current graveyard across the public road from the existing church and located on a steep hill is full to capacity. The decision by Donegal County Council to award conditional permission has now been appealed to the planning board. A local resident has objected, claiming the new graveyard would pollute both surface and groundwater and present an unacceptable risk. The objection claims the existing water course flows directly within 700 metres of salmon spawning beds of the Inamore water fishery, and as a result, the application should be refused. On Board Planalla says it will make a decision on the case by the 27th of August this year.
Former Derrick area councillor Melisha McHugh has been nominated to serve as an MLA. He replaces outgoing MLA Michaela Boyle, who has stood down having secured a seat in the local election. At a selection convention in Strabane last evening, Mr. McHugh, who lost his seat in last week's council election, was unanimously selected to represent West Tyrone at Stormont. The government is being accused of a dangerous and growing reliance on corporation tax receipts. It's after the annual report of the Revenue Commissioner showed it now accounts for 19% of the total tax take. The Exchequer took in 10.4 billion euro in 2018, up 2.2 billion euro on the previous year. Fianna Fáil has called for an independent review into the sustainability of the corporate tax receipts, while Sinn Féin says a surge should not be relied on to fund essential services. Revenue Commissioner Michael Gladney says a select number of companies are paying the bulk of corporation tax.
The manufacturing sectors are certainly up on where they were the previous year, and multinationals. Of the total corporation tax yield, 45% of it is paid by the 10 largest companies, or 70% by the top 100 companies in terms of payments.
The chairperson of the Mary from Dunloe Festival has moved to clarify that this year's event won't be impacted by concerns nationally over civil defence medical supports. The organisation usually provides first aid and other services at festivals, but legal advice which was given to the Department of Defence could put that in jeopardy. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show earlier, chairperson Andrea Atkinson says the festival hasn't used civil defence support for some time. However, she did warn that rising insurance costs is becoming a real issue.
We don't currently use the civil defence because we keep our events under the threshold. We have more events that have less people in them now because of the issues around this and the health and safety, etc., but also the cost. Yeah, well, our insurance costs already are prohibitive to us. About currently this year, 3.5% of our budget is spent on insurance, and that's expected now when we renew in June to go to 4%, which equates to about 5 cents for every euro that we have to spend, either donated or raised in sponsorship or funding. Also, we find that, you know, all the artists that we invite are worth more than we can usually afford to pay them. And so we're hitting everybody, and it's very difficult when you're budgeting to have to put these sort of costs in, and they're just going up and up. And the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival is a 10-day event, and also it's been going for 52 years, and it's completely voluntary. Everything that we do is nobody's paid for it except the artists themselves, and then whatever we get in ticket prices, which is very low because nearly every single event we put on is free.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrival of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 13 minutes past five, and time's the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer. Chelsea and Arsenal will look to complete a clean sweep for Premier League sides in European semi-final action tonight. Arsenal take a 3-1 lead to the Mestalla for the second leg of the Europa League semi-final with Valencia. Arsenal have never lost a European tie, in which they won the first leg by 2 goals or more, progressing from all 27 previously. Gunners boss Unai Emery has warned his side against complacency.
We are in 50-50 for two teams, and after the first leg, the result is not changed my idea. It's going to be very difficult here, and we are going to play with all the ambition, with full motivation.
Chelsea, they play host to Bundesliga side Eintracht Frankfurt, with the sides tied at a goal apiece. Chelsea's Ruben Loftus-Cheek says he doesn't feel any extra pressure due to the absence of N'Golo Kante. The French midfielder will miss tonight's game with a hamstring injury, but Loftus-Cheek's not sure the responsibility to control that area of the pitch will fall to him.
I don't see it as pressure on me. I just go out and play. Just try to play my best football, and if that can help the team win, then that's great. But I don't put, you know, all the pressure on one person. You know, there's 11 players in the team.
Both those games start at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, back at home, the Republic of Ireland need a win this evening to be sure of a place in the quarterfinals of the under-17 European Championships. After draws in each of their Group A games this far, Colin O'Brien's side they take on table toppers Belgium at Tallaght Stadium. Derry City's Ronan McKinley's part of the Irish squad. A draw could be enough for Ireland tonight, but only if Greece and the Czech Republic have a lower scoring draw. They play in Bray. Both those games start at 7 o'clock. And €50,000 will be on offer to the winners of a new cross-border competition. The FAI and the IFA have confirmed that the new Unite the Union Champions Cup, a two-legged tie, will be played in November between the winners of the SSE Airtricity Premier Division and the new Danske Bank Premier winners, Linfield. Locally, the North West Women's Super League returns tonight. There's 3 games down for decision. They all start at 7 o'clock. Ellies, they play Swilly. Kildare play Greencastle. And Fannett, they take on Lagan. In Gaelic Games, the 2019 Ulster Championship starts on Sunday with Tyrone meeting Derry. That's in Healy Park in Omagh. We could get some news from both camps tonight ahead of the eagerly awaited preliminary round tie, where the winner will meet Antrim in the quarter-finals. Changes were made to the fixtures in recent seasons, and Tyrone boss Mickey Hart is happy that the games come more frequently.
It's very hard to tailor your intensity of your training. If you have a 4-week period or a six, sometimes it used to be 6 weeks nearly between a game, and certainly always a preliminary round. There was a month between the preliminary round and the first round proper, and you never really use those 4 weeks to build. Really, you know, it's nearly better in a way that as long as you have enough room to recover and get ready for the next game, I think 2 weeks is a nice break. But as you say, it will test your resources, because with games coming as steady as that, inevitably you pick up a few injuries here and there. So yeah, there's elements of truth in all that you say, but I wouldn't be too worried about the fact that as every fortnight we played a lot of league games there in a short period of time. We played McKenna Cup 5 games in the 1 month, so we're used to, you know, tight games and close games, to put it like that, you know, close after each other. So I don't think too many players would be too worried about that. They like playing games. And if you go out of the Ulster Championship and get into the back door, you have no option. You'll get games thick and fast as well if you're successful, and it's a more risky place even to be sure, because you don't know what you're going to meet from week to week, sort of, or at least you don't know. It's not a complete mystery, but it's a half a mystery anyway. You know, you know what half of the draw you're in, but you don't know which teams you're going to meet until those games are played.
Mickey Hart there. Meanwhile, Roscommon manager Anthony Cunningham has named a side for Sunday's Connacht Football Championship quarter-final with Leitrim. Of the side that started their last championship outing, that was August Super 8 defeat to Dublin, only David Murray and Tadhg O'Rourke are retained, and there's a championship debut for full forward for former Kerry player Conor Cox. Meanwhile, Leitrim manager Terry Hyland has handed out 4 championship debuts for that game at Dr. Hyde Park. Fergal McTaig and Conor Reynolds will start in the full back line, while into the forwards come Pierce Dolan and Evan Sweeney. Moving on to golf on the European Tour this week, it's the British Masters. It's been held at the Southport in Merseyside, and after a course record 63 today, sitting on 9 under par, Matthew Jordan of England leads the way. He's 2 shots clear of Marcus Kinault, and the best of the Irish is Michael Hoey. He's playing the last. He's having a great round. He's on 5 under par through 17. Paul Dunne's 1 under through 12, and Gavin Moynihan 1 over through 10. In the PGA Tour this week, it's the AT&T Byron Nelson. It's taking place in Dallas. The early leaders in that one are Jonas Blixt and Cramer Hickok. They're both on 6 under par early in their first rounds. Seamus Power and Patrick Harrington, they both tee off a little later. Finally, for this evening in rugby, there's good news for Munster ahead of next week's Pro 14 semi-final with Leinster. Joey Carberry's on course to return, having been absent since late March with a hamstring injury. And Tommy O'Donnell could make a first appearance since January after recovering from a shoulder injury. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, Anna Creashall died from a blunt force trauma, according to the former state pathologist who carried out her post-mortem. Professor Marie Cassidy presented her conclusions to the jury today in the trial of 2 teenage boys accused of murdering the 14-year-old schoolgirl in Dublin. Our courts correspondent Frank Rainey has this report, which some listeners may find distressing.
The 2 boys who can't be named because of their ages have pleaded not guilty to murdering Anna Creashall on May 14th last year. Boy A is facing and denies an additional charge of aggravated sexual assault. After examining the crime scene at a derelict farmhouse in Lucan, Professor Mary Cassidy gave evidence today of the post-mortem she carried out. She said Anna was naked apart from some socks, the soles of which were thick with dust. She said a strip of sticky tape was loosely wrapped around her neck. She outlined over 60 injuries to Anna and concluded that she died from blunt force trauma to the head and neck. Under cross-examination by the barrister for Boy B, she agreed it was a horrific death and accepted anyone witnessing something like that would be traumatised. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
A local election candidate is calling on the Justice Minister to move to reinforce garda numbers in isolated Donegal towns. Manus Monaghan, a local candidate in the Stranorlar area, has revealed that in Convoy, where there is a population of 1,000, there is just 1 garda stationed there, and 2 in Raphoe, where the population is 1,500. He says what is needed is more than a token garda presence.
I was out talking to people at the doorstep in Lisford recently, and I noticed several of the people had put up CCTV cameras And I asked one of the people why they put them up. Had there been burglaries or something in the area? But the reason that they said was that they were afraid that they knew that the numbers of Gardaí in Donegal had gone down, and that if they called the guards, that there mightn't be anybody there to help them if they were in trouble. So people are afraid, and I think that matters, and it's not something I'm particularly happy about. So I decided anyway I'd have a look at the number of the Gardaí who were stationed around Donegal, and I saw that in convoy just one Garda was stationed there, and Rafo there were two. And that's two towns, one that has a population of 1,500 and another one that has a population of 1,000. So I don't really know what they think they can achieve with that sort of tiny number of Gardaí in the station.
And indeed, there have been fears that criminal gangs, due to the district's close proximity to the border, they are aware of the low Garda numbers and they are exploiting this.
Absolutely, and I think that situation is only going to become worse. I think if Brexit goes through, whatever form that takes, I think the possibility of increased rates of criminality, I think, is extremely likely. But the number of Gardaí nationally has been increasing, but we still haven't got back to the peak of 2009, and since that time our population has gone up. So I think it's ludicrous to imagine that the instances of crime will go down. If anything, we need more Gardaí.
For weather now, there will be further showers this evening, some heavy and merging to longer spells of rain. It will be mostly cloudy tonight with further scattered showers and a rather cold night with lowest temperatures of 3 or 4 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a teenager is among four people arrested today in connection with the murder of Lyra McKee. The 29-year-old journalist was shot during disturbances in the Craigan area of Derry on April the 18th. There are fears Sockler farmers in Donegal will be severely impacted unless additional supports are provided by government. A recent analysis shows that the western and border counties are particularly reliant on the Sockler herd, but its positive effect on the economy is felt nationwide. Community employment supervisors and assistants in Donegal are set to begin 5 days of strike action next week. It's in response to Minister Pascal Donoghue's ongoing failure to meet with SIPTU to discuss CE supervisors' rights to a pension as set out in a 2008 Labour Court recommendation. And a Donegal church that has a graveyard full to capacity has had plans for a new graveyard appealed to in Bord Pleanála. The Roman Catholic Church in Letchabara, just outside Donegal town, is said to be in urgent need of additional graveyard space. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 9th of May. The death has taken place of Mary Brown, Mill Road, Glenties. Her remains will repose at her home on Friday from 12 noon, with removal at 6:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties, to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Inquiries to James McGuinness and Sons funeral directors. The death has taken place of Sister Christopher Veronica Hegarty. Sister Christopher will repose at the Immaculate Conception Chapel, Thornhill, Derry, from 7:30 this evening. Requiem Mass will be celebrated there on Saturday at 1:30, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Brendan McGeehan, Ballycarran, Kilmacrennan. His remains will repose at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Little Angels School, care of Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Mary Mady Hughes, née Joyce, Clunine, Hollymount, County Mayo. Her remains will repose at the Roundfort Community Funeral Home tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock, with removal at 8 o'clock to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Roundfort, Hollymount. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 12 noon, with a burial afterwards in Roundfort Cemetery, Hollymount. The death has taken place in Clydebank, Glasgow, of Danny McLaughlin, formerly of Main Street, Killygordon. Funeral will take place in Clydebank, Glasgow. Arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Harry McDermott, Monidara, Glenealy. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bochan Cuildaff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Vincent McCloskey, 354 Glenshane Road, Cloddy, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his sister-in-law Bridget's residence at 356 Glenshane Road. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St Patrick's Church, Cloddy, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Anna McShane, née O'Reilly, 266 Victoria Road, Brady, and formerly of Cavan. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clockcore, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.